Hey, it's Daryl C. Murphy, and I just want to talk to you real quick. The Common is produced at WBUR in Boston. We're public media. We don't have paywalls, which means we don't ask you to pay to see our work. We say, here's some powerful stories for free. And then, if some of those stories you read or listen to are important to you, and you talk about it with your friends and family, and you even see the world a little differently, then we ask you to support it, because we want to continue making work that is meaningful to you. And right now, I want to let you know what's happening at WBUR. Our radio shows, our podcasts are getting some of the biggest audiences we've ever had. Our journalism is winning awards, reaching new and more diverse audiences. And you are a big part of that. Our journalism has never been stronger, but the business has never been harder. We've had a big loss of sponsorship dollars, like a lot of media companies have in recent years. But one thing we've always been pretty good at is getting support from our listeners to make the things they love. So we're asking right now, in a crucial moment for WBUR, can you help us get through this by joining other listeners in supporting WBUR? We need your help to keep making the podcast you're listening to right now, along with everything else that comes from WBUR. Your help would mean a lot to me and to all of my colleagues. So please, head to our website, WBUR.org. Thanks.
WBUR Podcasts, Boston.
I'm Daryl C. Murphy, and you're listening to The Common.
All right, so now we are in the back prep kitchen. This is where most of our storage is, as well as our employee area and our office. What I love about it is because of all the windows, you can see all the way into the dining room and also all the way back into the office area. So even though it's a really long space, we're able to kind of feel like we're all close to each other.
Right, and that makes sense because one of the things you're known for is your transparency.
Yes.
That's co-founder of Mei Mei Dumplings, Irene Lee, as she gives me a tour of Mei Mei's new facility in South Boston, which opened last month.
So we want people to be able to see everything, to understand, you know, warts and all, kind of what happens in food. For us, I think it's really helped us build a following of very loyal guests who really feel like they know us, they know my family, they know our team, and they know about the food that we're producing for them.
Right on. I appreciate that because when I go to a place, I don't want to see how the food is prepared because I don't want to see something that's going to turn me off.
Totally.
But the fact that you're just confident and like, no, please, look. That means I can trust you and enjoy the show.
Definitely. And, you know, it also kind of goes back to our food truck roots, which is how we started in 2012. The food truck has a big open window, and usually the back doors are open, too. So there's not a lot of space to hide. But that also creates such a great dynamic between guests and workers that anybody can kind of interact and engage with each other. And it's not just a server to the guest, and then everyone else is outside of that.
It's the first time Mei Mei has had a physical home open for business since the pandemic, and the space is pretty dope. The dining area is spacious with bright colored chairs, and on one wall there's a huge mural that shows the life cycle of a dumpling from farm to table. And then there's an indoor window toward the back of the dining area that gives visitors a look into how Mei Mei's team prepares the dumplings with the help of a machine that Irene says can produce 10,000 in an hour. It's an interesting move letting diners see how the sausage, or in this case, the dumplings are made. But this kind of thinking is what helped her win a 2022 James Beard Leadership Award. But I have a question that has been burning in my mind all morning. Tell me about the James Beard bump.
Yeah. So I was very honored to receive a leadership award from the James Beard Foundation last year. I think for me, the award was really incredible because the timing was coming out of COVID. Mm-hmm. And that was, for me, a period where I doubted every choice I made, where I felt really, really insecure about how I was leading my team and the choices I was making. And so I think to be affirmed coming out of that was really incredible. And I think the team, I hope the team knows that I only get to do these community projects and other initiatives because they do such a good job here.
Mm-hmm. That's real. That's real. Got to show love to the team.
Yes.
Of course, you know, there's this prestige that comes with awards and stuff like that. And at the center of it is the fact that these dumplings are delicious. But also the story of Mei Mei is one of transformation and a hell of a COVID pivot.
Yeah.
But it feels like that's happening in Boston. Like, you're a prime example of that. But do you feel like this is a time of change for Boston?
That, yes.
Okay.
I do, for sure. I think that as far as restaurants go, a lot of people tapped out during COVID.
Yeah.
You know, maybe they were thinking about it before. They were close to retirement. When COVID happened, they said, we're all set. And, you know, good for them. And that left a lot of room for up-and-comers, for folks who maybe were sous chefs or they were doing a pop-up, mm-hmm. to really establish their roots. You know, they didn't have all the trauma and exhaustion of running a business through COVID, so they're hitting the ground running, opening new spots, which I think is really exciting. And then a lot of people have done a pivot similar to ours, where they said, we're not going to run a restaurant the normal way anymore. It didn't really work before, and it's definitely not going to work now. So my very dear friend, Seiji at Cafe Sushi, Cafe Sushi is one of the best sushi restaurants I've ever eaten at in my life. And they did a beautiful dinner service, impeccable hospitality, amazing sake list. And they went takeout only during COVID, and they're not going to go back. I'm going to miss eating there, but that dude's got three kids and mm-hmm. his wife owns the business with him. And so whatever he needs to do, as long as there's some oshizushi with mackerel still available to me for takeout, you know, I'm happy for him.
Tell me about your relationship with other restaurants in the city. I assume you all talk and collaborate with each other from time to time.
Yeah, Boston is a small town, for better and for worse. And I think that, you know, we've been incredibly fortunate to receive support and love from pretty much every restaurant in Boston. I'm really rooting for the whole industry. Mm-hmm. To me, it's not about competition. It's about having educated guests who spend their money intentionally.
Mm-hmm.
And if we can have that, we can have as many restaurants as we want. So for me, I think it's pushing the conversation forward.
We're going to take a quick break, but we'll be right back with more from Irene Lee.
A gruesome scandal at the nation's most prestigious university shines a light on a macabre and lucrative world of buying and selling human remains.
Human body parts taken by a manager at the Harvard Medical School morgue and then sold to customers online.
So my first skull is right there on the top shelf. That's my first and my favorite.
I'm reporter Allie Jarmani, and this story raises some tough questions. How should we treat the dead? And who gets to decide?
There should be some middle ground where we treat deceased tissues differently than we treat old refrigerators.
This is Postmortem, The Stolen Bodies of Harvard, a new season of WBUR's Last Scene. Listen and follow Last Scene wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, so we're back in the dining room after a little tour. What are we about to get into?
So these are the sort of stuffed dumplings. They're kind of elongated half circles. Mm-hmm. And what we're going to do is just put our finishing touch on them so that they have cute little dumpling shapes. So if you want to pick one up.
Okay.
And I'm thinking we can play around with creating some pleats. Basically, you can take this outer edge and let's make some little folds in it.
Mmm. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, my pleats are hurting. My pleats are falling apart.
That's okay.
Okay.
You know, we always say all dumplings are beautiful and it's what's on the inside that counts.
That's
so,
right.
A lot of life lessons in dumpling making.
Okay, I think.
How cute! I love it!
It's like a little bag.
Yeah. All right, so let's put that down and then we can cook some of these and we'll have ourselves a little snack.
Sweet. So, we got the hot plate over here. You know, you are known for your leadership and advocacy in the restaurant world, mainly around equity.
Yes.
Tell me about how you got into that. You decided that you weren't just going to be in the restaurant industry, but you also want to make a change.
Yeah. Well, I'll be honest. I'm someone who got into restaurants. I had no idea what they were about. Mm-hmm. I knew that I loved food and I wanted to bring food to other people, but I didn't know the norms and the standards of the industry, and I learned some of them the hard way. And I decided pretty quickly that if I was going to stay in the industry, it would have to be because I was trying to do something different. Mm-hmm. You know, my grandparents opened a restaurant when they immigrated to the U.S., and I think my grandma would come back from the dead and kill me if I were just running, you know, another status quo restaurant with all of the inequity that inherently comes with. And so to me, it felt like to justify being in this profession, I had to be doing something to, again, push us forward.
Understood. So now this is the new iteration of May May.
Yes.
You were in Brookline before, then you moved to South Boston.
Yep.
Why South Boston?
The short answer is that the landlord approached us and really wanted us here, and we were able to really be partners with them in creating this space and determining the vision for what we wanted May May to be. Not everyone is lucky to have an amazing landlord, and so that to us was very attractive. Mm-hmm. We're actually still fighting with our old landlord about how much money she wants for the space that we've now vacated and handed over to someone else. So it is incredible to have so much support from day zero from a landlord. And then the other thing about Boston is we've been in this city for a long time. We actually were right on the Boston-Brookline line on mm-hmm. the Boston side at the old location. And we have gotten so much support from city government, from advocates who work in the city of Boston. We thought we were going to have to move to the suburbs. So getting the opportunity to stay was really incredible. The other cool thing about this neighborhood is that it has a manufacturing history. Mm-hmm. This used to be a factory that produced, I think, electrical parts for like cars and planes. And so a lot of the businesses on this block, they're actually making food and beverage here. And I think that's really special. Like, so many places you go now, especially like food halls and stuff like that, mm-hmm. nothing's actually being made there. And no judgment about that. But I think it does feel different to go to the site of production. And so I like that we get to kind of engage with that history of Southie with this space.
What is in the future of possibilities for May May from here?
The future for May May is still pretty unknown, which is really exciting. My business partners, Annie and Alyssa, are the brains behind this evolution, and I am really excited to support whatever they want to do. Mm-hmm. I think that it will absolutely involve supporting other chefs and food entrepreneurs. Holding the door open has always been something that really gives this work meaning for us.
So important.
And of course, you know, world dumpling domination. Maybe we'll have May May dumplings all over the country. That would be super exciting, but I think I'm open to May May becoming whatever it needs to become. I just want it to be a business that people are proud to work for and proud to support. And as long as we're doing that, this can be anything.
Word up. Well, Irene, thank you so much. You now have a new evangelist.
Thank you.
You know, I'm going to let people know about May May dumplings. They're the real deal.
Thank you so much, Joe.
Yeah, thank you. That's co-founder of May May, Irene Lee. And that is our show for today. Thank you so much for listening to The Common. Hit us up on Instagram or Twitter at WBURTheCommon or send us an email at thecommon@wbur.org. And if you're on Instagram, make sure you keep an eye out for the video of our trip to May May Dumpling Factory and Cafe. It really was a lot of fun. I hope you like it. And it is Friday, so I gotta let you know, the show is produced by Franny Monahan and Caitlin Harrop. It's mixed by Emily Jankowski, Matt Reed, and Paul Vikas. And it's edited by Ben Brock Johnson. And from the newsroom of WBUR, I'm your host, Daryl C. Murphy. I'll talk to you soon.